Morning. My name is Ashley Jennings. I'm one of the pastors here at Village Church. We want to welcome you. This is Cody Bren, another one of our pastors. And we are so excited that you're here. God is doing something incredible in our church and through our church in this community. And it's just an honor to worship with you guys. It's just been such a neat experience, especially in the last couple of months, just experiencing God together here. I want to let you know that we have a free app, okay? And we want you to download it. So if you have the app, raise your hand. That's not enough. Not everyone has their hand up. Okay, so you can just search Village Church AZ in your the Google Store or iTunes, and download that. That has our calendar on it. It has an online giving option. It has a quick prayer request. If you're out, you know, in the field, so to speak, out from the other 6 days of the week, and you come up against something, you need prayer right then and there, you can send it through the app. It comes right to Cody and I. We give it to our leaders instant. So we just want to engage you with our app. So please download it today if you don't already have it. And then I know that this is a little bit into January, and you're like, whoa, 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 we are in December, and it's not even Christmas. Stop talking about 2019. But I want you to know that we are actually going to have a Financial Peace University class. If you've done that class before, raise your hand. Right. Life-changing 9 weeks of money management and future planning and things like that. And so it is an incredible class. We're going to be offering that in January. So if you're interested, please mark that on your card and let us know. All right? So we're going to get started here. This is our second week in our Advent series. And Chris Antonio did a great job preaching last week just about Jesus, our hope, and the importance of hope in our lives. And so this week we're going to continue that by reading a little part of the Christmas story.
Yeah. We're going to be reading today out of the book of Luke, chapter 2, if you want to turn there. Otherwise, it'll be up on the screen in just a moment here. All right, read along with me. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." First of all, can we just appreciate how crazy it would have been to see that, right? To be those shepherds and all of a sudden, like, this angelic host appears before you, you know? Like, just imagine, these were real people that this was happening to, right? We like our nativity sets and we look at them and we go, "Oh, that's cute, little baby Jesus there." But this happened, you know? This all happened. This is crazy to get in the mindset of what these people experience. And can you imagine the faith builder that was, right? You can't shake that. You can't be like, "Well, I don't know if that ever happened." When an entire angelic host is before you, ordering you around, right? It's pretty hard to ignore that later on in your life. And so to have that kind of foundation behind when Jesus was born, to know that there was these immovable events that, like, you can't shift, you can't shake, right? They happened. They happened mm-hmm. for those people. And that was a foundation-changing thing for all of humanity. That moment, the Savior was born. Mm-hmm. The Savior was born, right? And so that is what this season is all about, right? We know it's because of Jesus that we have hope, that we have joy, that we have peace, that we have anything good in our lives. It's because of the person of Jesus Christ and the fact that he came down and he was born in that lowly, lowly state, right? And this is the season where we remember what he did for us in that, right? And so the truth that we want to bring out today is that Jesus is our source of joy. Jesus is our source of joy. In a world where joy gets thrown around a lot and we kind of equate it to happiness, right? We think joy of being happy feelings, good feelings, right? But when we think of this, if Jesus is our joy, then how can, that can't be one and the same, right? Feelings are not joy. Feelings are not the same as Jesus, right? Jesus is a person. Joy came, manifested itself as a person.
Amen.
Jesus is joy. He is our definition of what joy is. And so if we want to find joy and we know that Jesus is our source of joy, then where do we look? Mm-hmm. To Jesus. Amen. Only to Jesus. He is our only source of anything good in our lives. He is our source of true life-changing joy. And so if we know that, if we understand that truth, that Jesus came to this earth so we could have a source of joy, this real source of hope tangibly in our lives, then we have to ask this question, how do we find joy, right? We all know we need it. We all know we want it. Mm-hmm. We all know it's something that we would happily trade most of the feelings in our lives for, amen, right? And so if we know that that's the truth, then how do we find it? And that's what we're going to be unpacking today.
Right, and so we're going to look at the angel's words here because they come down and they say this sentence, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." And that joy we're talking about, I know Cody has said it, but I want to reiterate it again to you, is that it's not just happy feelings. You know, as a pastor, we do lots of counseling, and I've observed, just as being a human being myself and kind of dealing with people, is that that kind of search for joy is what drives us as human beings. That search for, like, I just want to feel that happiness, that goodness in my life. And so we attach it to a bunch of different things, but really we're saying that Jesus is the source. And so if we look at what the angel said, the very first thing they say is, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, okay? So the first thing, if we're going to find joy, we have to resolve to not be afraid. And, you know, I want you to just to picture yourself being a shepherd and seeing this thing happen in the sky, right? These hosts of heaven are now all of a sudden in the sky. All right, that would be terrifying, don't you think? You're like, no, it'd be kind of cool. No, you would be absolutely devastated. Like, what is happening right now? I've never seen anything like this. I'm just a shepherd out in the dark, and this is just invading. I mean, it would be this incredibly scary thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's scary to see angels, straight up. And you know that because every time an angel shows up in Scripture, the first thing they say is, whoa, 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 don't be afraid. Because everyone's just like, what is this? This is otherworldly. This is not of me and what I understand. And so I think that the directive the angels give to not be afraid, though, speaks farther than that moment. In thinking about it, I think it goes beyond that, because here's the deal. They had a message of joy, but in order for the shepherds to access that message of joy, they had to first resolve to not be afraid so they could hear it. Right? They had to first decide, you know what, I'm going to listen to what they say. I'm not going to run in fear. What can you imagine if they would have ran away in fear? Which is probably what I just picture myself, like, run away, this is so weird. You know, but if they wouldn't have listened, heeded the words of the angels, what would they have missed? They would have missed that message of joy that Jesus had been born. They would have missed the source of joy. And how much is it like that in our lives sometimes? Sometimes we come up against some things that are beyond us. They are big, they are scary, they are unknown to us. We're not sure what they mean in that moment. And at first glimpse, it appears to be something scary. That's our normal human reaction, is like, I don't understand this, that fight or flight, right? Like, I don't get this and I'm afraid of it. But, think about the incredible acts of God that shaped history in Scripture. Think about what happened. So, you know, Moses parts the Red Sea. Can you imagine standing, seeing that happen? Do you think you'd just be like, that's cool, that's neat? No, you'd be absolutely terrified to see this huge body of water in front of you splitting, right? But at some point they had to resolve, are we walking through it or not? Like, I got to get over my fear. There's Egyptians behind me coming. So it preceded something incredible, right? The fearful moment preceded something incredible. I was thinking about other things, like Isaiah in the temple. Right? Like Isaiah's in the temple and all of a sudden the glory of the Lord comes and it's like the train of his robe like fills the temple and Isaiah is like wrecked. he's just like, oh my gosh, this is like, woe to me. Like, I am going to die. But God had an incredible life-shaping, history-shaping message to give to Isaiah. We think about David and Goliath. Right? Goliath is huge, scary thing, but David had to resolve, I'm going to get over my fear to experience this incredible thing with God. And then Elijah even calling down fire from heaven. I mean, these incredible things, this is what happens in our lives. Something unknown comes in front of us and we have the choice. Am I going to miss this incredible move of God because I'm afraid, or am I going to resolve to not be afraid? Right? These moments that precede something incredible are often faced with something scary in our lives. And how much of the time might we miss a miracle that God wants to do in our lives because something unknown or big or scary or out of our control is in front of us, and we just sit down in fear. We sit down in, you know, meltdown mode. Like, I don't understand this, and now I'm cursing God, and I'm frustrated, and I'm fearful, and I'm anxious because of it. I think instead we can choose to heed these angels' words. Do not be afraid. This is not the end. This is just something unknown. God is about to do something incredible in your life.
Absolutely. Yeah. When I was 15 years old, I flew on an airplane for the first time. And I grew up in North Dakota, and I was flying to Montana. Two states that don't have great airlines, I'll just say, right? And so I was on this little dual prop plane for the first time, like, hey, I know what I'm doing, right? Okay. Like, and when I was 15, I had like full sideburns and stuff, so people just assumed I was an adult, so they treated me that way, even though I had no clue what was happening, right? But I'm like sitting on the airplane, like going, and then I remember vividly, like, it was like, it didn't have any paint on the airplane. It was one of those where it was just, you know, this metal. I'm looking out the window, and all of a sudden I hear this ping, like this super loud noise, and I look up in the cockpit, and a red light turns on and goes, and the guy goes, wham, and he turns around and shuts the curtain. And I was like, what? Like, this cannot be normal, and I'm freaking out the rest of the flight, because the guy clearly was like, oh, it's normal, like, and he hits the dashboard, gets the light to turn off, and then closes the curtain, like, whatever, right? And I'm looking around like, anybody else see that? Like, am I the only one? And I'm just waiting the rest of the flight like, well, this is it. This was 15 years old. That's all I got, right? Like, that's what I get. And so from then on, for a long time, I was terrified of flying. Like, every time we would take off, I would have so much anxiety. And like, I couldn't breathe, and I'd just be like, okay, like, I'm grabbing Jessica's arm, and she's like, really, I have to be the strong one here, you know? But I'm like freaking out every single time. And then that all changed when on the flight one time I was like getting there, I'm like, this is ridiculous. I am so tired of being afraid. And my thought process just went to, look, it's gonna happen or it isn't, right? Like, I have zero control over that. Like, and in a lot of cases, the pilots don't either. And so, like, look, either God is who he says he is or he isn't, and if he wants to take me today, then today's my day, right? And I literally have to say that to myself every single time, because I feel that little bit, that little tinge of anxiety pop up right before we take off, right? And I have to go, if today's the day, then today's the day, you know? Like, and that's how I got to get through it, right? I either trust God or I don't. Because I have zero control, and fear always manifests when I'm trying to control something, right? That's the key, because I'm trying to control. I can't fly this plane, and even if I thought I could, it'd be a disaster for everybody else, right? Like, if I didn't trust the pilot for some reason. But here's the thing. What does an airplane do? It is a vessel to get you to a destination. There is always fear attached when God is trying to get us from one destination mm-hmm. to another. Because it means this new surrender moment. That fear comes up in our lives because God has a vessel in our way to say, I'm going to bring you to a new place. And you can try to control this, but it's not going to go well for you. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be freaked out, and you're going to have all this anxiety in your life. But you know what? I'm going to get you there one way or the other. Mm. And you can surrender to this. It'll go a lot more smoothly. You can trust me that I'm going to take care of you, that I have the destination already in mind. I've already got a place set up for you, right? You can either trust me in that, or you can try to control it. But one's a much better decision than the other. Amen?
Amen.
That's the key. Fear is always God trying to move us from one place to another. It's a control thing, right? Those shepherds, they were afraid because they had a pretty big job. Yeah. They were going to go see the Savior of the world. You don't think that was more life-changing? That moment that they laid eyes on that baby. Hmm. That was absolutely more life-changing than that heavenly host of angels that they saw. Yeah. Because only Jesus could do something about them. Those angels can encourage. They can say, hey, go check this out. But Jesus changed their lives. He changed everything for them. And they had to get over that fear barrier, right? Because they could have hid their heads in the dirt and said, no way. But they would have never gotten to the destination of Jesus. Yeah. So we have to keep cognizant of that. If there's fear, let go of it. Let go of it. Trust mm-hmm. God. And then you can find where God's trying to get you to.
Yeah, and you know what's amazing about Jesus is that we get access to joy in the midst of even chaotic circumstances. It's not just about when all the cards line up just right, then I can feel happy. We have access to this deep in our bones kind of joy, even in the midst. The Bible says, you know, consider it pure joy when you suffer trials of many kinds. That means that joy is accessible. Jesus is accessible even in the darkest moments of our lives. And I know that some of you today might be facing some real unknowns. And you're thinking, well, yeah, if a host of angels showed up, I might feel a little bit better about it. Like, I might know, like, oh, he does see this situation. He does have an outcome. But I'll tell you, we don't need angels to show up because we have thousands of years of reliable moves of God. And we have our own personal experiences. We don't need angels. He's done just about everything to prove it. He endured a cross. And we know the freedom that we have in Jesus. I know the freedom that Ashley Jennings has because Jesus found me in my brokenness. Praise God. And so you might be facing some real unknowns. A couple things I wrote down: an outcome of a health diagnosis, financial unrest, job insecurity. You might be facing an issue in your relationships with your kids or your spouse or your family members, and that comes up a lot during Christmas. I want to say two things about it. You can still access joy in the midst of those things. By Jesus Christ, you can do that. And also, too, I think we need to decide today not to waste one more moment of fearful thinking or fearful actions in our lives, because that will steal your joy quick. Yes. And that's why Angel said, do not be afraid, because I've got a joyful message. I've got an incredible move of God I need to tell you about. But you got to first listen. You got to perk up. You got to decide. And I want to say, I know that choosing to not be afraid is sometimes like a resolve. Like today, right now, you might be sitting like, I'm done. I'm done with my fearful thinking. I'm over it. I'm surrendering it. And then there's moments, though, of life, situations where it's like even a moment by moment choice. And I know you get tired. I know in those times you're just tired. You're sick of it. Like, why do I have to keep choosing joy every hour, it seems like? Why do I have to keep surrendering fear? But I want you to know, I've known Jesus long enough, and gratefully, as a pastor, I get to know a lot of stories, probably more than the average person, and it will break. Whatever is going on in your life, whatever that cycle is where you're like, oh gosh, I'm in this moment-by-moment resolve, it will break. And you have to know that. That was Chris's message of hope last week. You have to keep up your hope so that you can resolve, right? Even in those moment-by-moment times. I'm not going to be afraid because Jesus has joy for me, even in this difficult, unknown circumstance. And so will you resolve today? Will you resolve today to put fear aside and let joy come and replace kind of that hole that fear leaves in Jesus Christ? And so we want to resolve today together to not be afraid.
Absolutely. Yeah. So our first point, right, that was resolve to not be afraid. And our next is to believe the good news. And we see this all in the same statement, right? Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid, they said. I bring you good news. Right? It wasn't like, I bring you some pretty terrible news. So don't be afraid, right? It was, this is good. This is amazing. This is what will drive your hope. This is something you can look forward to, right? That hope is really what drives our joy, what we talked about last week, right? And so the shepherds, they could have chosen in that moment to just say, no, I don't think I believe you. I don't think I believe you, right? I don't think I believe that some baby is going to take care of all my issues and mankind's issues especially, right? They could have said that, but instead they believed. They believed in the good news that was offered to them. And that belief, our faith that God is who he says he is, right, that drives every bit of our joy in us. But as long as we fail to fully accept that truth, that he is who he says he is, right, our joy is at risk. That is what causes our joy at risk, is when our foundation of understanding who God is incomplete. Mm-hmm. Just a shred of doubt can steal joy. Just a shred of doubt that God doesn't really love me that much. I don't know that I really trust him that much, right? But here's the thing. Scripture says Abraham believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. Mm. Just that belief, right? Because belief changes everything. Because here's the facts, right? There's this amazing power in what we believe in. Because what we believe, it shapes our thought processes, right? We're everything, right? If you're politically minded, right? Like if you lean one way, that political leaning is going to shape your thought process, the way that you view the world, right? That's how it works, right? Mm-hmm. And so our beliefs in who God is going to shape our thought process, the way that we view the world. And our thoughts shape our perceptions, and then those perceptions, they shape our choices, and our choices shape our realities. Yeah. So the reality that you are living in right now is due to the choices that you have made because of the perceptions through the thought processes mm-hmm. that stem from your belief system. Yep. What are you believing? Who are you believing in? Are you believing in the God Almighty that can take care of every last issue in your life? Or are you believing in some sort of a pseudo-God that doesn't really love you, that he loves other people more than you? That he takes care of other people's issues, but not yours. What are you believing? Mm-hmm. Is God who he says he is or not? We don't get to straddle that line. You live fully in one or the other. And that choice alone makes all the difference in the world as to what your perceptions are and where your joy lies.
Yeah, the story of Jesus is the best news anyone could ever
Amen.
Hear. It is the best news. And I hear people say, this is either 100% false, just a lie, right? Or it's actually real. And there's atheists that even say, like, gosh, I so badly wish that I could believe that was true, because it's the most incredible story ever told. And you know what? You can go all day long, reading books or whatever about the reliability of Scripture, which there's incredible evidence. We could go on and on and on about this is not some fable, it's not some made-up thing. But you have to, at the end of the day, you have to get honest about what you believe. You have to get honest about your believe meter, right? Do I believe it or not? I'll tell you, like, the last 3 years, like, I believed in Jesus. I gave my life to him when I was 17 years old, like, really gave my life to him, followed him, never looked back from that point on. And I'll tell you what, like, I believe in Jesus. I gave my life, right? I said, I'm believing in you. Take a hold of my life. But there have been times in my life I've had to kind of come back around and be like, okay, this better be real. You know, like, just to be honest. Have you been there where you're standing on the edge of faith and you're like, you better, I swear, this better be refill. Is that what you said? I love it. This better be. And I'll tell you, like, I have experienced miracles in my life. Like, it'd be so ridiculous for me not to believe. It'd be absolutely ridiculous. But even more so, like, the stories that have come out of your lives for Cody and I, even yeah. just to know, I know a lot of your personal stories, and it's incredible what God has done. It is the best news. It is the best news, Jesus Christ. You know, I've sat in the most joyful moments of people's lives, and then, you know, I was, as Cody was talking, I was remembering in the first year of our ministry here, there was a man, Obi. He was a good friend of ours, and he tripped on the coffee table. And he was so wounded so badly that he died here in Red Rock. And I'll never forget that day. Here I thought I was going over to Diane's house to be the pastor, and Cody and I walk in, and the carpet cleaner is there, like, cleaning up his blood. It was just the most awful thing. And that woman in her 80s sat down, and she said, you know, we do not doubt who God is, because he is real. and his word is real, and I've lived my whole life. And she started recalling all the times that God had come through for her. And Cody and I are just like weeping, like, what
she
is happening?
She was comforting
she's
us.
She's ministering
like, it's okay.
To us.
We're going to be all right. It's like,
she's
what?
Like, we're going to be just fine because God did this, and he yes. saved me here. And
amazing.
My, I was depressed in this season of my life, and my kid, you know, died at this point, but God was there for me, and he did all these things for me because he's real, and Jesus is good news. And I'll tell you, even in the worst moment of this woman's life, it was like she was recalling it. Like, we don't go back. We don't go back on what he's done for us. And I think in the same way, doesn't that just encourage you to know that, yeah, God does amazing things. We can praise him all day long and come in here and say, thank you, get a financial miracle, and you've come through for me. But then sometimes the brokenness of the world hits, and it's real, and we have to choose in those moments, are we going to go through the fearful, doubtful thought processes, which, you know what, God can handle. He can handle. He's not afraid of your doubts. So you need to get honest today about it. But you can also choose today, nope. He was here, he was here, he was here in my life, and I'm looking over there at this person in my church, which is why church community is so important, and seeing he was there, and he was there, and he was there, and if he did it for them, he can do it for me, and I'm not giving up on the good news of Jesus in my life.
Yeah.
Today, we have to resolve to not be afraid, and I think again for us, church, to believe that good news. Through and through in who we are. And maybe you're on a scale of, you know, 1 to 10, you're at a 3 today. We're going to see that 3 bump up, right? I want to see it go to 10 today. And maybe you came in with a 10 and you're holding strong for the rest of those in here that are at a 3 today. But we are going to choose today as a church. We're going to believe that good news about Jesus Christ because it is the best story ever told. And
absolutely.
It's 100% reliable and real.
Amen.
And available for us here and now.
Amen. So where is your joy at today? Right? Think through that scale of 1 to 10, right? Where is your joy at today? What are you choosing to believe today that's hindering you from being able to get to that level 10, right? What are you choosing to believe in your life mm-hmm. that's stealing that joy? Where's the fear at in your life that you are desperately trying to control, but today you need to realize you can't control it.
Yeah.
Only one person can, and he's willing. So what do you need to surrender this morning in order to get to a higher number, right? To get to that level 10. Because I'll tell you, total surrender is the only thing that's going to get you to that level 10 understanding
yeah.
of what joy really is in our lives and the hope that we can look to and count on absolutely, right? So the world may be in turmoil around you, but do you believe Jesus when he said, behold, I have overcome the world?
Mm-hmm.
That's where our belief lies today. And that is what you have to ask yourself in order to grow in this, because that'll make all the difference.
Yeah.
Look at the world around you, right? Jesus overcame the world. He can overcome whatever you're facing.
Yeah, if your joy is struggling, I would ask you, where's your belief? Where's your belief? So we're going to believe that good news. The third thing we see with the angels, what they say is that we share that joy with others. If we're going to find joy, we have to choose not to be afraid. We have to believe the good news. We have to share that joy with others. You know, he says up here, the angel, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy, not just for you, but for all the people, all the world. This message is not just for us. You know, and I picture myself like, if I experience this incredible thing, this move of God in my life, angels in the sky, or whatever it is for you, how you've experienced God, how often do we just shrug our shoulders, oh, that was, thanks, and move on, right? But if we truly understood the monumental thing, I mean, just picture the shepherd just running off, like, we gotta go. Leave the post. Who cares if the time clock, you know, we don't get the pay. We're getting off the job and we're going to find this baby in Bethlehem because they said it's there and this is incredible. And it's like everything else didn't matter. And I picture them everywhere they're going and it's speculation, but as they go, right? Hey, there's a baby. There were angels and it's crazy. You wouldn't even care if people thought you were crazy because you saw it was just incredible in your life. You know, and I think about joy and like how often today maybe there's like a spark of joy happening in you right now. Maybe you're realizing I've been living in fear. I've been living in a low level belief, you know, of the gospel. And so now today you're like, oh, the spark of joy is coming. I really think we fan that flame of joy when we go out and we share it with other people. It's like the joy becomes contagious in other people, and it grows in us, and it catches fire on other people. You know, if we do Testimony Sunday sometimes, and a couple weeks ago for Thanksgiving, we just had a time of what are you grateful for? And it was like the presence of God just descended on us. Do you remember that? It was incredible, and we worshiped like crazy. Like some of us were like, what are we doing? We're like singing so loud, and you know, it's just like out of our own character to worship the way that we worshiped that day. Because as we share it with others, it's like it catches wildfire in our lives and in the people around us. You know, like I was telling other people Greg's story the rest of the week. This guy in my church who was having dreams and all this, you know, I'm just telling everybody. Sorry if you're worried about it, but incredible what can happen when you share it with others. If you want to keep joy up in your life, it can't just be about you and God in that moment. It's got to be, you know what? I've got a little spark. I got to share what's good. So I got to see it get momentum in my life. Because I think even sometimes as we share it, it's like we believe it. Like it's like I kind of knew it, but as I'm sharing it, it takes root and right and cements into my brain. It's like, no, that is real. That's good. Yeah. Like we're hyping ourselves up. And so we have to share that joy with others to see that fan burn into flame. No, flame, whatever.
Fan to flame.
You got something it. About it. Yeah, good. I got it. Okay.
It was good there. All right.
Yeah, that fan burn into flame, whatever.
You know, and your story reflects what you believe, right? And so the story that you tell others is going to say where your belief lies and whether or not there's fear there or control that you're trying to take a hold of, right? And this reminds me of, you know, King David. He was called a man after God's own heart, right? That was the first thing said about him and the very last thing in Scripture said about him, a man after God's own heart. And here's a guy that was responsible for over 70,000 people dying because of his disobedience. And he's called a man after God's own heart. Right? And so obviously there was this season when he wasn't doing so great, right? If that's part of his story. And you think like being king was not probably a super easy role, you know? There's this joke by a comedian, his name is Brian Regan, and he talks about like how he would never want to be the president of the United States, because he's like, imagine getting woken up every morning like this. Problems. Whole bunch of problems, like all every morning, like that's what you wake up to, right? And I think we can all relate to that, right? Because it feels like that some mornings, like, you know, your kid wakes up, literally, wakes you up at 3 a.m. and it's like, oh, problems, great, okay. So goodbye sleep, right? Got problems instead, right? Yeah. But in the midst of David taking on his kingship, right, we get the story of David and Bathsheba, right? And imagine David would have had a lot of opportunity for stress and anxiety and fear coming up, and he was trying to control things. And that control mechanism is exactly what got 70,000 plus people killed, because he was trying to control God. He was trying to fix himself. And so he's trying to find joy in his life, and so he's looking around him instead of to God. He's not looking at God. He's looking at all the stuff around them that could bring him joy, and one of those things was Bathsheba. Mm-hmm. And so he falls. And this horrible set of circumstances leads to like 11 people dying because he chose to find joy in something else. And that was his story for a little while. That was the story that other people saw. That is the story that he was telling other people about who God was. And that had to have grieved him, because he knew, I'm a man after God's own heart. And what story am I telling my people? And we see this broken David coming before God in Psalm 51. And I'm just going to read a small excerpt. It says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. The restoration of joy that David was asking for was not just for him. It was so that he could tell the right story to those who needed to hear it. Do we catch that? Do you catch that? Do you catch the power of that? Our joy is what drives our story. And if we're storytellers here at Village Church, then we better be telling the right story. And we tell much more of a story with our actions, with our demeanors, than we ever do with our words. And so joy has to be what we're rooted in if we want to be telling the right story. Maybe today you've realized that your joy needs to be restored. And we're going to have some people standing off to the side during worship. And if that's you, if you know my joy needs to be restored, I have lost it. Then please go get prayer. Have someone pray over you to restore the joy of God's salvation in your life. Worship God today. Tell him how thankful you are for who he is and your belief that he is who he says he is. That's why we worship. That's why we're able to sing these songs with such rich words, right? It's because God is so amazing to us. So we sing powerful, amazing words. And remember that what God gives us is always meant for others, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever God gives us, the joy, the love, the transformation in our lives is meant for us to show others so that they can step into that themselves. God's mercies are new every morning, which means that every day we have a fresh, new reason to choose joy. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And every day that means that we have a fresh, new story to tell others as well. Mm-hmm. So we choose joy for ourselves and for the sake of others, and that's the way it has to be. Amen?
We have the worship team come forward. I'm going to ask Sarah, would you mind praying for people today? And Jessica, Antonio, would you guys mind? We're going to have these two go to the side. And I just want you to know, like, we're the real deal here. We believe that God has an agenda for you. And so if you're lacking in joy, please go get some prayer at any point during the music. Do not be afraid. And, you know, if I wasn't behind the piano, you'd probably see me weeping on the floor in front of one of these ladies any day of the week, okay? And so I want to do something a little different today, because as Cody was talking, I was thinking, there is no reason why any one of God's children should be living joyless. We should, like, be mad about it. Like, no. We're not doing that. We are not going to settle for anything less than the joy of Jesus in our lives. And you know, this week I'll tell you, this is just so ridiculous, but I lost my car key, and I have one, and my daughter was like over an hour late for school, and I mean, at this point you're just turning over everything, right? You're just like looking in the trash, you're digging out the couch cushions. And as I was doing it, I was getting more and more mad at my family, because I'm like trying to direct blame, like, it's not my fault, somebody's fault, you know. And you're pulling out the couch and there's like gum and goldfish, you're like, I swear, these kids, you know. And then you're like going through the bills and you're mad at your husband, you're like, he'll never sort the mail, you know. You're just like all this stuff coming up, anger. I know it's absolutely ridiculous. And at some point, I just realized, I like stopped after an hour, you know, you're like going through the stages of like denial and all the stuff. At the end of it, I just felt so mad. I was just feeling so worked up in myself. And I just realized, like, Satan is just trying to steal my joy today. Like, just it, like, dawned on me. So even though I was mad, I directed that toward, you should have seen me. I was in the back of the house, and I was walking out, and I had resolved, I'm just gonna start cleaning the house, get ready for the day, whatever, right? And I'm telling Satan, like, you know what? God knows where that key is. And if I'm not going to find it, he's given me the money to buy a new one. And if today I can't figure it out, I've got an amazing tribe of people in my life that will pick up my kids from school. And so you can't win. You know, I'm just like sassing the enemy. And I'll tell you what was so funny. At the end of it, I was like in the kitchen, like walking around the house, like ranting and raving. I was like, and so get out of here in Jesus' name. And I picked up my shoes, I'm cleaning up, and my key was inside my shoe. It was like the craziest. And I'm like, the Lord just moved in my house. Like, why would the key be in there? Maybe Judah. I have no idea how he would have gotten a hold of it. But I think we need to have that kind of like vigor today as we worship God. No, I will not settle for anything less than joy in my life, because Jesus is real. He's real. And so I'm going to ask you today, you know, we usually have you bow your heads and raise your hands in response. But I'm going to ask you, you know, our first point here was resolve to not be afraid. If you've been living in fear about something, and today you're just going to resolve, you know, the specific situation you've been afraid about, today you're saying, not today. I'm going to resolve, I'm going to choose to not be afraid. I'm going to invite you to stand up. I'm going to invite you to be brave. Awesome, guys. Second thing was believe the good news. If your belief meter was low when you walked in and you're saying, you know what? Nope, I'm going to believe. It's a choice. Would you stand up today? If those doubts, you know, were kind of circling, you're saying, no more. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to own it today. Would you just stand? last thing too, if you're saying, you know what, too much of the time, God does good things in my life, but I don't tell anyone about it. I'm, you know, kind of shy or whatever, but I'm going to be committed to sharing that with other people this week and in this season. Would you stand to your feet as well? It's that commitment to share joy with others. Praise God for how he moves in this place. I'm going to pray for us. We're going to go into worship. God, thank you so much. Thank you so much that we are called your children. God, that we can come into this place, and Lord, you know exactly what we need. You know exactly what we need. Lord, we can read a story from thousands of years ago, and it's like looking in the mirror, and we can just see ourselves. And God, Scripture is alive. Your word is alive and active, and we just see you today at work. And we're so grateful for how you move in this place. Lord, we've made some incredible statements today. We're not going to be afraid. We're going to believe with our whole heart, no matter what we're going through, that you are good and that your story is true. And God, let this not just be about us, because there is a world of people joyless that need an infusion of your saving grace in their lives. Lord, help us, burden us with the urgency of that. Help us to get over our feelings of, you know, maybe they'll think I'm weird, or maybe they'll be offended because of the political climate right now, or whatever. Lord, help us to cast it aside as if we saw a host of angels in the sky and we just didn't even care what anyone thought. Help us just to share it. Lord, we love you, and you get all the glory for every good thing in our lives, God. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.